Baptism is one of the most significant moments to be reminded and reaffirmed through God's grace and mercy and love that God claims us. But every day of our lives, God is claiming us, God is affirming us, and God is reminding us that we are God's children and we are loved.
That's the Reverend Olu Brown, and today he brings you a powerful message of faith entitled Jesus' Baptism, Hope for the World. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. In 2020, we proudly celebrate 75 years of ministry of the Protestant Hour and now Day One, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. Now, here's your host, Peter Wallace, to introduce today's speaker.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're pleased to have with us the Reverend Olu Brown, lead pastor of Impact Church, a young and fast-growing United Methodist congregation in the East Point community of metropolitan Atlanta, Georgia. A native of Lufkin, Texas, Olu graduated from Jarvis Christian College in Hawkins, Texas, and earned his Master of Divinity from Gammon Theological Seminary of the Interdenominational Theological Center in Atlanta. Olu is the author of several books, including Leadership Directions for Moses, On the Way to a Promised Land, and 4D Impact, Smash Barriers Like a Smart Church. Olu, welcome to Day One.
Well, Peter, thank you so much for this opportunity. It's been a blessing to be here.
The story of Impact Church is powerful. With your vision and leadership since its founding in 2007, Impact has grown from a core team of 25 people to more than 2,400 attendees each Sunday, plus hundreds participating online. It's one of the fastest growing United Methodist churches and new church starts in the United States. So introduce us to this church. How would you describe what you all are doing there? How are people following Jesus in their lives and in the East Point community?
Well, it's all about our tagline, doing church differently. So initially we thought it was about cool, relaxed atmosphere, but now we realize it's about accepting all people. And so we practice extreme hospitality. All people are welcome, all people are worthy, and all people have a place. So we love Jesus together, we grow as disciples, we reach out into the community, and we develop deep and abiding relationships.
And you say you believe in an active church. Can you say more specifically how that plays out in everyday life?
We do. Sadly, United Way of Metro Atlanta published a child well-being survey. And in our community, it's a red zone for children in our community. And so we took a deeper dive, and what we realized, one of the struggles for kids in our community are third grade reading scores. So now, as we move into this new year, we're positioning all of our resources, our volunteers, our staff, and all that we commit to do as a local church to seeing how we can change the metric and the rating currently for third graders who majority aren't reading at third grade level to change their lives forever.
In a time when churches are closing and people are concerned about the future, you clearly have done some effective and meaningful ministry. Are there other secrets that you've discovered about what people are looking for in church?
Yes. I think people are looking for real relationship. I had a meeting with a gentleman who is new to our church and, of course, had been at another church before, and that was a great ministry, a great church for him. But he was also looking for a different style of worship. He was looking for a deeper connection with a senior pastor. And that's not to say that you can connect one-on-one with everyone who's a part of your church. But stories like his remind me that as technology-driven as the world is today, there are still people who are looking for a face-to-face conversation and a simple hug or a shake of the hand. And I believe that is one of the things that makes Impact different and how we live out our Christian faith in our local church.
You have a wonderful piece of property in East Point. What are some of your plans for how you're going to develop that?
Yes. So currently we have our worship space. We offer a summer camp in partnership with the East Point Police Station. And we also have quite a bit of events. Last week, as I was walking through the property, there were three busloads of high school seniors who were coming into what on Sunday morning is a worship sanctuary. But on that midday week, it was a place for them to have their senior brunch. Mm. And so those are some of the creative ways we utilize that space. As we prepare to go into construction for phase two this summer, we're excited because we'll have an indoor gymnasium that will be 24 hours, 7 days a week, and not only train kids physically, but also academically. Thematic space for youth and children so they can walk into a room and not only develop their souls, but their minds, as the room looks like a wilderness or it looks like a science laboratory. We're also 5 minutes from the busiest airport in the world, and there are a lot of young entrepreneurs who want quality meeting space to come up with their next big idea. And so we'll offer co-working spaces. Mm-hmm. So those are just a few things that we'll continue to do and offer on a larger scale as we finish our phase two development.
You've done a lot of writing about innovation and planting and growing churches. What would you say has surprised you the most, or what has shattered your expectations about planting a church in these times?
Well, I believe church in general, whether it is a new church or an existing church, can be very difficult. But at the same time, I think this is the greatest opportunity to be in what we call the local church, because people need to know grace in ways that are so profound that many of us can't even imagine. So many people feel lost, abandoned, depressed, and outcast. So this is a great time to be a part of the local church. But it is very difficult because the world isn't the way it was 60 or 70 years ago, where you can hang a shingle and say, church meets here, and come join us for Sunday school at 9 and worship at 10. We have gated communities, gated condos, where there are no trespassing signs. And so we have to find a way into the hearts and the minds of people. And for a lot of our leaders, that can be a very difficult job if they're not willing to think about doing church differently.
So, Olu, how did you experience your calling to ministry?
I was a young teenager and growing up in this small town in Texas, and a new church was planted that happened to be a United Methodist church, which was our introduction into the United Methodist tradition. The pastor welcomed young people and gave us all of opportunity to serve. And one Youth Sunday, I did the altar prayer. And after doing the altar prayer, the pastor stopped by our house after church and gave me an opportunity of a lifetime, of course, asking my mother first. But he asked, how would I feel about helping him out on Sunday mornings? Hmm. And that was long before I knew about an ordination process or any bishop consecrating. But at that moment, that pastor saw gifts and graces and that local church and, of course, my family and friends. And that began what ultimately led to my senior year in high school of accepting my call to ordain ministry, and now have been going forward ever since.
Mm. Well, on this Sunday, the church celebrates the baptism of Jesus, and your sermon draws from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3. Would you read the text for us?
Yes. Matthew, chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased.
Your message is entitled, Jesus' Baptism, Hope for the World. Olu, thank you for sharing it with us.
Peter, thank you for this opportunity. Matthew's gospel narrates Jesus' birth in Bethlehem in Matthew chapter 2, the beginning of his earthly ministry in Matthew chapter 4, and stories of his healing crusades also in Matthew chapter 4. even his crucifixion on the cross of Calvary and his resurrection from a borrowed tomb in Matthew chapters 27 through 28. Matthew's gospel covers Jesus's entire life experience on earth. And this is what separates the gospel of Matthew from Luke, John, and Mark. So it's only fitting that the gospel of Matthew recorded Jesus being baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. In the gospels, most of the narratives about Jesus are related to his public ministry only. Very few times do we see the intimate glimpses into Jesus's personal life and his spiritual journey. In just a few short verses, the Gospel of Matthew quickly covered Jesus' birth and his lineage in chapters 1 and 2, and the tension surrounding his parents' attempt to protect his life and destiny from Herod. As quickly as Matthew gave the brief biographical and geographical sketches of Jesus' birth and preteen years, chapter 3 shifts to Jesus as an adult, beginning his earthly ministry and sharing the good news with the world in need of God's grace and God's mercy. The scene that we see during Christmas is so brief in Matthew's gospel, because shortly after the nativity scene, then we see an adult Jesus Christ who is on his way to Calvary's cross. One of the most significant parts of Matthew chapter 3 is Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. It's also important to understand Jesus' connection and closeness to John the Baptist. As mentioned earlier, they were cousins. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, when Mary, Jesus' mother, received confirmation that she would conceive a child through the Holy Spirit, like anyone, she was a bit in awe, but yet she was excited, and she ran to talk to her cousin Elizabeth to share the announcement. Of course, today, in modern day times, she would have posted on social media, but in antiquity, she had to run to the next house, the next town. When she arrived and saw Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John, John began to leap within his mother's womb. John the Baptist baptizing his cousin, who was a savior of the world, was extremely important and symbolic. The two of them, who first met in their mother's wombs, were now together again at Jesus's baptism. This had to be an awe moment for John the Baptist, who had spent his ministry baptizing others, and now to see at a distance and now up close his cousin Jesus asking to be baptized by him. Who could have ever imagined his ministry would evolve to this very place and time? As a pastor of a local church, one of the great experiences I have had is baptizing individuals and standing with their family and friends during this wonderful sacrament in the life of the Christian church. Although I understand my role as a lead or senior pastor, I have always been willing to yield my position to an ordained family member, such as a grandparent or relative, who would like to share in the baptism experience of their loved one. There's a sign of connectedness when family members share in the baptism of their loved ones. Although Jesus' baptism was packed in just a few short verses, I imagine for his family, this was a very memorable moment to see his cousin baptizing him in the Jordan River. Not only have I been fortunate to have family members share in the baptism of their loved ones, I've also seen and been blessed to share in baptism experiences in multiple contexts. There are times when Christians feel a baptism has to follow a particular rule or order or location, but I am so glad Jesus was baptized in a river, which helped people understand that the location or style of baptism is never as important as the act of baptism itself. Historically, there are those who have been baptized in fields, lakes, hospital rooms, college campuses, churches, and large public outside baptism ceremonies all over the world. Each of these locations and styles of baptism may have been uniquely different from each other, but all are vital and significant. As you celebrate your baptism or the baptism of others, don't be overly concerned or critical about the location or style, but give God praise for the act of baptism and the grace of God in the life of the person being baptized. I'm so glad that even the Savior of the world was willing to be baptized by John the Baptist. It serves as a model of hope and humility to each of us living today. Yes, the baptism of Jesus Christ is hope for our world. Perhaps you're contemplating baptism or concerned about being baptized. Jesus opens the way and opportunity for each of us to be baptized and to celebrate this wonderful ceremony, not by ourselves alone, but with family and friends who know that the grace of God not only is present within us, but in the community that serves as witnesses. There's nothing to be afraid of related to baptism. There is nothing to be ashamed of about baptism. Because baptism is our opportunity to be joined together in a community of faith for Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus' baptism is hope for the world. As we reflect on Jesus' baptism in Matthew's gospel, we see that Jesus had a personal and spiritual preparation process. Even though Jesus is the Son of God, the Gospels demonstrate his personal and spiritual preparation that led all the way to his crucifixion on the cross of Calvary. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 57, the following profound words are recorded. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home." This scripture gave a glimpse into Jesus' personal life while traveling to and from his hometown, and that he wasn't able to do many miracles there because to those who knew him best, he had become a common individual. Sometimes prophets are accepted the least in the places and spaces that know them the best. I appreciate Matthew for giving us a view into Jesus' personal journey and helping us understand in many ways his path was not unlike that of all of humanity, experiencing joy and pain along the way. These personal moments in Jesus' life were part of his preparation and the fulfillment of the scriptures. Throughout Jesus' earthly ministry, he was being prepared for Calvary. Whether it was the rejection he experienced in his hometown or the awkward witnessing moment to a woman at a well in John chapter 4, who went on to be a great evangelist in the Gospel of John. His baptism by John the Baptist was a part of his overall personal preparation that continued to allow humanity to identify with him as both divine and human. Yes, Jesus was the Son of Almighty God, but he was also the son of a carpenter who grew up much like each and every one of us. That's why his baptism is hope for the world, because his story is much like our story, and because there is great hope in his story of baptism, we also have great hope in our lives today. In addition to the personal preparation, we also see spiritual preparation. Reflecting on Jesus' baptism narrative in Matthew's gospel, I think about my faith tradition as a United Methodist pastor. In the Methodist tradition, baptism is seen as an act that looks back with gratitude on what God's grace has already accomplished. It is here and now an act of God's grace, and it looks forward to what God's grace will accomplish in the future. Think about it. Baptism is a sign of God's grace that is already at work within our lives. Sometimes as people prepare personally and spiritually for baptism, they think that it is a moment when they will receive God's grace for the first time. No, theologically, God's grace has always been with us and will always be with us. And so in that moment of baptism, it is an affirmation of what God has already done. Through baptism, Jesus represented the fulfillment of God's grace and love for all of humanity. And although Jesus was both divine and human, his time of baptism marked the beginning of his earthly ministry and his own continual spiritual preparation. Shortly after Jesus' baptism in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus went into the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan. Once again, Jesus encourages humanity by helping us understand that although we prepare personally and spiritually, we will still face the attacks and blockades by the enemy. But we are called to hold fast and persevere. Today, like Jesus, God is preparing you personally and spiritually for your journey. And it is my hope that you would be encouraged along the way and know that Jesus is your example of hope through God Almighty. In addition to Jesus' personal and spiritual preparation, his baptism moment in Matthew's gospel was also an opportunity for God to affirm to the world, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased." That is a hopeful statement that we all want to hear in our lives, perhaps from a parent, a guardian, a loved one. It makes a child feel special and loved when they can see an elder from the community look at them and declare to the world, "This is my child, whom I love. This is my child who is special not only to me, but is special to the entire world." This was more than a general statement by God Almighty. It was a divine affirmation setting Jesus apart from all other humanity. Thanks be to God that God was willing to place an announcement of favor and grace over Jesus' life to remind the world that God was not only with Jesus, but also with us. So when you hear God saying, "This is my child," hear God telling you, "You are my son. You are my daughter, whom I love. And with you, I am well pleased." This is why Jesus' baptism is hope for the world. It would seem unnecessary for God to say publicly, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased," because I am more than confident that God was sure of his relationship to Christ, and Christ was sure of his relationship with God. So what was the purpose of this public declaration if it wasn't for God and Christ primarily? Here is the answer. It was for the people to know and be assured that Jesus was the Christ and the Son of Almighty God. We aren't clear if this was a private baptism between John and Jesus or if others were close by. But in any case, I'm sure the news traveled fast like the social media era we're living in today. From town to town, people heard and talked about what happened at Jesus' baptism. God's public affirmation of Jesus at his baptism is a sure and certain hope to the world that Jesus is the Christ and the Savior of the world. Historically, we know there were other Jesus-like characters during the time that Jesus walked the earth who were false prophets. And I'm sure when some were introduced to Jesus, they may have been a little skeptical. Even today, when people are introduced to Jesus, they may be skeptical because of those who may not have acted out of the true character of Christ and misled others along the way. I rejoice in the fact that God spoke a word of affirmation over Jesus so that the world would know that he is the one. I know today some of you aren't quite sure of who Jesus is. Perhaps you had a loved one who had a deep and abiding relationship with Jesus, and you thought that your loved one was unique, and that loved one was the only person who can have a special relationship with Christ. But that's not true. Thanks be to God for God's words of affirmation over Jesus, and those are the same words of affirmation over your life. God loves you. God has claimed you, and God is pleased with you. I believe that God's words were also important for John to hear, since so much of his ministry was built on preparing the way for Jesus. So in that very moment, he had to be affirmed as well, and to know that his ministry work had not been in vain. There are times when we live out the plan and purpose that God has for our lives, when we aren't quite sure if we are on the right road or the right path. And in those moments, we need to be reassured that God is with us and that we are not alone. As a pastor, I have had many opportunities to welcome new life into the world, and I have had many opportunities to sit with those who are leaving this world after a long and fulfilling life journey. So often, some of those individuals at the end of their life experience, they wonder, were they on the right path? Did they do everything that God wanted them to do? Somehow, in some way, through the warm touch of a loved one's hand and the prayer of a pastor over their bodies, in those moments, they're reassured that their life was not in vain. Perhaps this was the feeling that John the Baptist had. He just needed someone to tell him that all that he had done in ministry to this point had not been in vain. So to hear the voice of God say, "This is my son, who I love, and I'm well pleased," wasn't just for Jesus, but it was also for John. Through God's declaration, Jesus was affirmed as the Savior of the world. John's ministry was reassured, and today we hear God's words from more than 2,000 years ago, telling us in our moment of baptism and even beyond baptism that we are loved by Him as well. Not that baptism is the only point on the Christian journey that reminds us of God's love. I believe it is one of the most significant moments to be reminded and reaffirmed through God's grace and mercy and love that God claims us. But every day of our lives, God is claiming us, God is affirming us, and God is reminding us that we are God's children and we are loved and God is pleased. In this moment of holy baptism of Jesus Christ, we see these wonderful works of grace and these wonderful works of love. But finally, through Jesus' baptism, we know that he was willing to live a life of humility instead of making demands through his divinity, and that he was willing to live at a standard and level with those he came to love and serve. This is why Jesus is so important to the world, because he was a servant leader. Think about it. He was both divine and human. He could have demanded great authority. He could have had his baptism experience at a palace. But no, there in the open air at the Jordan River with his cousin, the Son of Almighty God allows humility to flow through his veins. And he is baptized in an open air space by John the Baptist. As Jesus approached John the Baptist, John said the following words and raised the following question: "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Although Jesus was the literal Son of Almighty God, he was still willing to humble himself and be baptized by John, which is in line with the stories of Jesus throughout the New Testament. Remember at the beginning of this sermon in John chapter 4, we mentioned Jesus meeting with a woman at a well. He wasn't supposed to be with this woman publicly. He wasn't supposed to be with this woman alone. But yet, the heart of Jesus caused him to be with those who no one else would be with. Baptism is a celebration for the individual and for the Christian community at large. This is why in the baptism liturgy, the following statement is said by the congregation. With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Wouldn't our world be a much different and better place if every morning we woke up and reaffirm this baptism liturgy to say that I will pray for my brothers and sisters. I will forgive my brothers and sisters. And I will do everything in my power to help them grow and to become true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Wouldn't our world be a much different and better place if we all took the baptism liturgy seriously? As the faith community surrounding persons at their baptism make those types of statements of care and love out loud, it is simply an acknowledgement that they are committing to living a Christian life together. As baptized believers in Jesus Christ, we must always,
Day One always, is the voice of America's historic mainline Protestant churches.
In the
Visit
midst
us online
of our
at dayone.org.
In the midst of our disagreements.
Our program
our
is recorded
pain,
and edited
in the midst
by Donald
of our joy,
Jones
even
and produced
in the
by
midst
Peter
of
Wallace.
Our hope.
Thank you for
Why
listening.
Why do we do this?
I'm Sherry
because
Miller wishing you all
the
God's blessings
of our
on
Lord
day one
and Savior
and forever.
Jesus Christ. We know from Jesus' earthly ministry that living in community was not always easy. Think about his disciples and how at times the relationship was tense. Even at the Last Supper, one of his dearly beloved disciples was about to betray him. His name, Judas. Even then, Jesus remained at the table with those who were at odds with him. What does this say about our lives together today as a community of faith living in our world? It says that through our baptism, it says that through our forgiveness through Jesus Christ, it says that through our witness of grace, we must be a better community. We must be a loving community, and we must be a forgiving community. Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist meant hope for our world that needed a clear and present incarnation of God's grace and God's love. Not only did Jesus come to earth in a human body as our Savior, he also experienced all that we face in our human journeys. And through his baptism, we have an example of affirmation, an example of hope, an example of humility. Even today, God is still affirming us on our Christian journey through our baptism experience. I remember when I was baptized and how through that baptism experience, surrounded by family and friends who celebrated for me and with me and rejoiced for me and with me, it is an experience I will never forget. But more than not forgetting the experience, what God expects of us through our baptism as Christians is to live out the power and the grace and the hope of our baptism every single day. And if we do this, not only will we be different, but the world that we live in and the people we interact with will also be different. Today, we commit to loving each other as the body of Jesus Christ. May God bless you. May God keep you, and may God's favor always abide with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our preacher today, the Reverend Olu Brown, is lead pastor of Impact Church, a United Methodist congregation in East Point, Georgia. For a free transcript of his sermon, Jesus Baptism, Hope for the World, call us at 404-815-9110. That's 404-815-9110. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. Remember, Day One depends on the financial gifts of faithful listeners like you. Send your donation to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. We're grateful for your support. And remember, to listen again to today's program, share a sermon transcript, or watch inspiring videos, visit us online at thenewdayone.org. I'm Peter Wallace. Next week, we're delighted to have with us Bishop Kevin Strickland, who leads the Southeastern Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, based in Atlanta, Georgia. You won't want to miss his inspiring message entitled, Come and See What Found Me. That's next time on Day One. The good news that Day One preachers share is transforming lives. This year we celebrate 75 years of weekly broadcasts. So please consider making a special donation so we can continue to inspire you and countless others across America and around the world. Mail your gift to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. Or call us at 404-815-9110. Or give securely online at dayone.org. And thank you for your support. Now, Olu Brown offers some final reflections on today's message. Olu, no matter where or how or by whom we are baptized, you said the act of baptism is vital and significant. And you quoted the United Methodist Book of Worship that baptism is seen as an act that looks back with gratitude on what God's grace has already accomplished. It is here and now an act of God's grace, and it looks forward to what God's grace will accomplish in the future. That's powerful. For those of us who have been baptized, how can we keep the reality of God's ever-present grace in our minds and hearts?
You know, in the United Methodist Church, we believe in remembering your baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And so often in these ceremonies, people remember their baptism. And I think that is one of the ways to keep that form of grace and that reality of grace alive in our lives. And it doesn't have to be some huge ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a very tense day in the middle of a downtown city where you look towards heaven and say, Lord, I remember my baptism. And in that moment, like we heard God saying, this is my child, who I'm well pleased with. And it is knowing that wherever you are or however you may be, God loves you, God claims you, and God is pleased with you.
Mm. You point out that Matthew's gospel gives us a view into Jesus' personal journey, including this moment of baptism by his cousin John. Matthew's gospel helps us understand that in many ways, Jesus' path wasn't unlike that of all humanity, experiencing joy and pain along the way. How do you think Jesus' baptism helped him prepare for his path?
Well, you know, shortly after the baptism, he goes into the wilderness where he is tempted, which is also a part of preparation. But I believe in that moment of his baptism, it says the heavens open. And of course, Jesus is divine, but yet perhaps there was a part of his mind that wondered sometimes, wow, this is going to be pretty tough here on earth. But to hear God's claim over his life, to say, you are my child, and I love you, and I am pleased with you, and I know that everything will be okay. So for Jesus, the baptism moment, I believe, was preparation through reassurance and mm-hmm. being assured that this is the path. And so as we see in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he says, Lord, if this be your will, then I'll move forward. And so we see these glimpses into Jesus's journey where even the Son of the Living God needs affirmation as well.
In baptism, the community of faith surrounds the person being baptized, and they acknowledge that they commit to the care and love of the person. They commit to living a Christian life together. You said as baptized believers in Jesus Christ, we must always commit to living together in the midst of our hurt and pain and joy and hope and even disagreements. Why is that commitment so important?
It's vital, in particular today. So often in the U.S. Politics, we talk about division, but historically, the world has always been at odds mm-hmm. between ethnic groups, religious groups, even geographically. You grew mm-hmm. up on one side of the country, and I grew up on another side of the country. But what we discover through the baptism liturgy is that as Christians, we are called to a higher level of accountability. And we're called ultimately to love all people. May not mean we agree with everyone or like everyone, but if we are followers of Jesus and we see him on Calvary's cross between two thieves and even on the cross offering forgiveness, then we also must walk like Christ and be willing to have a community of love, of forgiveness. And I believe most importantly, a community that sets a table that allows everyone to feel welcome and to be heard and valued.
Olu, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind in the days ahead?
It's hope. I believe in hope. I believe hope is eternal. And in the words of the Black National Anthem, James Weldon Johnson, in one of the stanzas, he says, in the days when hope unborn had died, that had to be a painful day. When the only thing that one could stand on never arrived. Mm-hmm. And there are so many people who wake up with that form of despair, and it is heartbreaking. I believe hope is seen and witnessed through God and Jesus Christ. And it is my hope that everyone would feel that in their lives and to know that God loves them, God claims them, and that God is well pleased with them.
Olu Brown, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Peter, and thank you for this opportunity to be on Day One.
Day One is the voice of America's historic mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for listening. I'm Sherry Miller wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.